podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
Welcome to the Manchester United Redcast. If you've only just discovered us, you can find all the links to our social media and previous podcasts at unitedredcast.com. My name is Aaron Paul, guiding you through the next 35 minutes of Manchester United chat. Joining me to my right, Mr. Ian Smith. Right, pal?
Yeah, I don't think I've been called Mr. before, and I liked it.
Do you change things up when you're applying for things like Reverend, Rabbi?
Yeah, I usually go for Reverend, Father, Professor. Give myself a knighthood, things like that.
Nice.
Good
man. One man who definitely sticks to Mr. is Nico. I can't pronounce his surname, Vich. How are you, pal?
I'm all right.
You good?
Tatarovic.
Tatarovic.
Just forget it.
We'll work
on
that.
Listen to it, hear it. Just forget it. It's not
work
worth
on
it.
That. One thing that's fresh in our minds is last night's defeat at the Emirates to the hands of Arsenal. Now, look, I've got friends who are Scousers, Chelsea fans, Spurs fans, Everton fans, you name it, fans of all other clubs apart from Arsenal. And do you know what the one unanimous thing they agree on is? Arsenal are insignificant. So it hurts when you lose to them.
Mm.
How did you feel watching that?
I was gutted yesterday, but I also realise we've just been on a ridiculous run, and that's a very hard away game. Even when they're not, you never expect to beat them away, but we have a good record against them. But I had a feeling, to be honest, and even though I thought I was ready for it, it's still I thought we were going to pull one back.
Yeah.
Even when we were 2-0 down.
Yeah.
But even though we didn't, I still think if the next game, if we were in the same position, I would still believe that we've got it in us to win. So I'm trying to be positive about it.
Ian, doesn't the song go, "We'll beat him at home and we'll beat him away"? Why didn't we?
I don't know. I guess people, maybe song lyrics don't affect reality as much as we've
Ollie's
thought,
at the wheel,
thought
though.
They did. I know. What annoyed me most is that whoever does Arsenal's Twitter admin just went insane. So they were tweeting like Emery's at the wheel and all that kind of stuff. No, and really. Ozil's tweeting about the dance floor and all that kind of stuff. It's just
he's insignificant as well. He's off in the summer. He'll end up in Hebe, John of Fortune or something like that.
I think Nico's right. It was such an incredible run. But I just thought, I couldn't see us winning for something after PSG. It's too much of a climax that it's almost too good to be true to then beat Arsenal as well. It seemed
when
too
that
easy.
Video went round showing all the different ex-players and or injured players celebrating, and it was like a montage. It was like you don't do a montage for getting into the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
You do if you've only got there once in the last 9 or 10.
Yeah, we have given it the big one, though, haven't we?
I don't know. I was surprised to see. You know, obviously they were just being supportive, but to see Cantona and Fergie and everyone making it out like almost like we'd won a trophy. I think it was like, and you know, they'll be celebrating tonight, let them enjoy it, all that. It's like, do you know what? Just maybe they lost their heads a little bit. I think there was some exhaustion there yesterday.
They were sloppy as well in the second half. You watch how they're tacked, and I was throwing things at the screen because, you know, they look like, you know, that final killer pass was just missing.
Pogba's playing on the left as well in 4-4-2 at the beginning. I think that's one of the first times, like, sometimes get it at the end of, like, Fergie's run when you'd see a formation and some of the players and think, he's gone a bit mad here. But Pogba on the left was the first time with Solskjaer, I thought, why is he doing that? This seems like a bit of a waste. But it was just I thought we would get it back to 1-1 before Aubameyang scored.
What do you make of the penalty?
Oh, I don't think that was a penalty. But the ref is in. It looked like a penalty. It's only with VAR that I don't think that would have been given on VAR. Same. But we can't complain about
it's
penalties,
calmer,
can
it?
We?
It's calmer.
Well, this week, that's the first thing that went through my head was, well, you know, we had one. We had one go for us. The other night, that's soft. I'll take it. But then it was also early on, wasn't it? Oh no, that was the second goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The first goal. What was it? I mean, Klopp's been out blaming the wind, and you know we know that the Liverpool manager has a thing about weather conditions. Can we blame the wind for De Gea's goal? Was he just not concentrating. The press talking to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after the game talked about how he potentially was distracted by a new contract. Mate, the contract weren't flying at him. No, it was a ball.
Nonsense.
You know, what was the score? Was it just one of those sort of lacks in judgment?
I think they were a bit hard on him, that saying that he's... It did have some shift on it, didn't it? I know he didn't go far, but yeah, I thought, you know, it's a mistake, obviously, but I don't know. I'm not worried. If we're going to start worrying about De Gea, then, you know, then could unpick the whole team, couldn't
you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's allowed the odd mistake.
It was annoying that when Klopp blamed the wind, my first thought was, you fucking idiot, blaming the fucking wind. And then when I saw that goal went in, I was like, nah, shit, I can't blame the wind now. No, I had a go at him for that.
I'll tell you what, though. If he did blame the wind at Wolves, I'm trying to remember what the other game was that he blamed it, because he's had two with wind, really? And one else is with something else, like maybe.
It's always windy when they lose.
Someone else. You got wind in Germany.
But Wolves is actually a notoriously windy ground.
Oh.
And I'll tell you that from experience, because I've seen, like, you know, them, you know, when, like,
have they got a wind machine?
No, you know, but you know, like, that's West Ham, they got a bubble machine. But you know, like, one of the tops of the stands is like at road level.
Really?
And like, it's just like, it's, you get sort of like a mini typhoon inside, like Molyneux. Like, so one time I was there for a game, after the game, doing all like the post match and all that with the managers. And like, you know, the groundsman's come and he's like started brushing the pitch and all that, getting it ready for the next game. And then suddenly this massive gust of wind comes, and all the crap from the inside the stadium bowl, wrappers, bottles, everything.
That must happen all the
time. Flies on the pitch, and he went nuts. Because no, they usually put a cover on it.
All right.
They put a cover on it and clear it all away. So you never know, there might actually be wind at Wolves. Going back to yesterday's game.
One of the fans got blown onto the pitch at one point, right into Chris Marlin's face.
Yeah, well.
I had done if I was in court. The wind blew me.
I was at the Second City Derby yesterday.
And
saw the man emerge on the left. Yeah. He's been jailed for 14 weeks. It's an absolute shambles. And you know, with Jack Grealish, he's going to be a hated fear for Birmingham City fans, because he's equivalent to like Steven Gerrard to us, you know. But what's sort
you know, it's
good.
Something in the back of the head, do you? If you're hard.
But hold on, he could have had a knife or something. The day and age we live in right now, you know, it would have been really worrying if he'd had a knife or something like that. Yeah. You know,
but it's always been there. There's been idiots running on the pitch forever, haven't there? But you know, it's not like hooliganism's a new thing. It's to me, my first thought was, why is it? I don't mean this in a flippant way, but why is it taking so long for someone? The only thing I can remember like that, obviously there's been idiots there, and like a keeper will like knock someone over or whatever, but Brian Clough like twatting fans in the face.
Yeah.
When they ran on the pitch and he was saying, get off the pitch.
Yeah.
But I find it weird that it's never happened before when you think how many idiots there are.
Just the numbers.
There's going to be, how many actual proper idiots are there in a ground? There's got to be a good 200 proper lunatics in any ground.
Do you remember there was a City fan that went for Rio? And Joe Hart was holding him by the throat.
Right, really?
Joe Hart was holding him by the throat, going, don't do something stupid, don't do something stupid. He was going to go for Rio.
Joe Hart wouldn't have been able to hold him now.
Yeah.
The form is in.
He's never seen since.
Slipped right through his hands. Yeah.
Looking back at that Arsenal game once again, one of the most disappointing things, again, as someone who I'm increasingly becoming impatient about, is Anthony Martial, who, when you're 3-0 up, looks great, but when you're 2-0 down, just cuts a really frustrating figure. And he makes this, like, sort of, you know, this face that could be resonated with, like, an emoji, just like, you know, the, well, what am I doing face. What am I doing?
You notice his face more than his legs, I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of any... Lukaku does that a lot sometimes as well. If, like, if he doesn't get the ball to his feet... You even see it when someone scores. Mm. Like, it'll be, like, cut back, so it's behind him. And he's already putting his hands up as in, like, what the fuck? And it goes to another player in the sky, and he's like, oh, right. Because Sanchez did that a lot at Arsenal and still does it when he plays at United. Just that, like, looking annoyed.
I must say, I mean, I do like Martial, but he does look arsey.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think he's... Rashford.
He's sad.
They called him Ashford then. Rashford's attitude is unbelievable. It's like he's in mission mode. He's like a soldier in it. Do you know what I mean?
Is there a discussion point over the fact that Rashford is a homegrown player, he's a Manchester United fan? Martial, we don't know who he supports, let's be fair. It'll probably emerge in a few years that, you know, he supports Real Madrid because everyone supports Real Madrid.
Where's he from? I mean, we know he's French.
France, yeah.
But I'm going to guess that if he was playing for his local team, he'd still have an arsey face.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I went to the PSG first leg, and down that left-hand flank, I really felt for Luke Shaw, who, by the way, has just
become
one
brilliant.
Of our best players. You can see why they spent £30 million on him all those years ago.
Yeah. Sometimes you forget as well, we don't have another left-back.
Where's Borthwick Jackson these days?
Yeah, Borthwick Jackson.
Didn't they send him off somewhere?
Yeah, he's like Carlisle on loan or something like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got
Dimitri
loaned out.
Dimitri Mitchell's somewhere else as well, I think.
He used to ping a decent ball into Borthwick Jackson, you know? Like, he was really good at crossing
the ball. Yeah, under Van Gaal. I mean, that's the one good thing. When Van Gaal was there, you just think, we've got an absolute squad of youngsters here. Got Tyler Blackett.
Callum Gribbin.
Yeah. Even when we had... We were talking before we came here about when we finished like 6th or 7th, but won the Europa League. When Josh Harrop come on, when Mourinho put Josh Harrop on, who scored, I don't know if he scored 2, but he scored a great goal. And you're like, oh, these youngsters we got. And then Harrop just.
I remember Rashford's debut against Midgetland.
Oh, yeah.
In the Europa League. And it's like, number 67, Regan Poole. It's like, oh, great, lovely. You know, you have all these random names coming up. And you felt quite attached to him, you know. Just going back onto Martial, what's the future going to be like for him? He signed a new deal at the club. Is he going to be someone who's going to always be a bit of a hindrance rather than a help to Ollie or the new manager?
I think he's a centre-forward as well.
Yeah.
I know he's good on the wing at getting... past people, but I think a winger needs more than what he's got. I don't think he can like ping in a ball.
We don't seem to
like...
have proper wingers anymore. We just have forwards that there isn't room for in the middle.
Yeah.
But so they get shoved out on the sides.
You feel like Rashford can put in an incredible ball, and like even like some of Dallo's crossing was really good. But I don't think Martial's can run past people. But yeah, I think he's a centre forward. I think we need like a couple of wingers.
Well, you're listening to the Manchester United Redcast. We're going to be looking back at the game against PSG. What a night for the Reds in the Parc des Princes. I'm going to be asking Ian and Nico about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his future, and that interesting interview with Gary Neville following the full-time whistle, plus where that performance ranks in the greatest nights in Manchester United European history. This is the Manchester United Redcast.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
Welcome back to the Manchester United Redcast. If you're in the UK and fancy a flutter, you can check out offers, odds and specials for Redcast listeners at bet.unitedredcast.com. My name's Aaron Poore. I'm here with Nico and Ian. Gents, let's look back at the game against PSG. I'll be honest, I didn't think it was going to happen. I was just like, nah, you know what? It'll be another one of them really... tough United away days, you know, when you're just sitting there staring dully at a screen at someone lump a ball in and someone else just head it away. And that's it, really. That, you know, it just sort of fades away into darkness. I did not expect that, though.
I don't know. I didn't think we would lose. But I thought we would draw.
Do you mean before the game?
Yeah, before the game, I thought it would be like 1-1, 0-0 or 1-0 to United. I didn't think they would go through, but I didn't think they would lose. I don't know why, but I thought there's a chance PSG would just bottle it.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be hard, but I thought that we would. I thought that there would just be loads of fight in it, and if as long as we came out of it having scrapped to not be humiliated, I was going to be reasonably happy with that.
Yeah, that's what I thought was all we could hope for, really.
And that's how the game felt like it was going, you know what I mean? Even when we... So it's like 1-0.
1-0, 1-1, 2-1.
So when we got the second one, I kind of started thinking, well done, you know, like, you know, we've given a good account of ourselves here, but I still thought they had too much.
Yeah, well, anger.
I thought they had too
course.
Much until about 10 minutes to go. And I honestly thought, something's happening here.
Yeah,
and something that's the thing that this thing that we've all been talking about of having the soul of United sort of feeling like it's back in some slightly weird, undefinable way. It felt like the game just was there. And when they hit the post, I thought, we're going to win this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll shit myself when they scored the second goal and Di Maria scored it. And the fact that he scored it and was offside was just even better, even sweeter.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Oh, I mean, so I had to do a gig when the match was on. So I was only going to get out at like 60 minutes. So as soon as I got off stage, refreshed BBC Sport. Because when I saw it was 2-1 United, I wasn't like shocked. I just thought, fucking, like it's on. Just ran to the pub. But the worst one was Mbappe one-on-one with De Gea. When I thought, because I haven't felt like that watching a match.
Wasn't it after
so
that,
long?
At the
in
my chest, like, yeah. When he went through, and then the tackle from Smalling, I thought Smalling might have given, other day Smalling might have given away a penalty.
Yeah.
And then when they hit the post, like...
I just thought,
how composed were they, though? You think about it. You're spot on about Smalling. To be honest, you look at Smalling and De Gea, I had more confidence De Gea to come out and do a bit of a job on Mbappe. Smalling, no chance. I don't know if you guys remember that show. Me and my pals call him Roger now. Do you remember Sister Sister? Back on Nickelodeon in the 90s.
No.
Do you remember our producer? Do you remember Sister Sister in the 90s? No? Well, fair enough. There you go. If you know Sister Sister, he looks like
90s,
Roger.
Mate.
He looks like Roger from Sister Sister. Google it, you'll find out. He actually looks exactly like him. But just, you know, he stayed very composed. And, you know, you look at players like McTominay, Pereira. How good were they? How unbelievable.
And the fact that
Fred.
We were scrapping with 10 minutes to go and then. Well, I know, like with 5 minutes ago, a second sub came on, but you know, there's like a couple of, you know, proper inexperienced players on there. It's pissing it down, and it's a proper scrap. And it was the fact that hitting the post, and then the fact that it was a penalty, and all the drama around the penalty, and all that. That's what heightened it all. It was like.
The best bit was hearing Ash Young afterwards going, we were telling the referee to hurry the fuck up because we wanted to take the corner. Yeah, no one realised. They were like, oh,
really?
Okay, penalty, crack on.
As soon as, when that went to VAR, my first thought was like, what, this is horrible because get all that hope and then they're not going to give a penalty. But when I saw that replay, I was 100%. That, and I know people say it's not really a penalty, but I thought they're 100% giving it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I'd agree
it hit
with
his
that.
Arm and he's jumped to move his back, but if you turn your back, your arm, he's turned his back and spread his body out. I just thought, yeah, it's 100%.
Well, he's thrown his arm
it.
Around there, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like he didn't know he had an arm.
He knew exactly what he
knew doing. Exactly how many
yeah,
arms.
I mean, he was making himself bigger.
I don't like VAR. Well, I didn't like VAR. Now I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I loved it then.
I would have loved
I'm
it.
I'm not
at
sure
Arsenal
about it.
Zone.
I like mistakes.
It gives you a talking point.
Everyone's still moaning about it anyway.
Yeah. As you see, apparently there's a petition. PSG have done a petition to try and get United knocked out because of the regulations for the numbers on the back of the shirt. Because a picture went viral that Greenwood had PSG numbers on the back of his shirt because they weren't expecting him to play. So they hadn't printed a number on his back, so he had to use a PSG printer. So they were like, oh, that's against regulations. If you look
well,
at
I'll tell you
what,
if they're going to do that, we'll submit a counter petition to really look in depth at their FFP, you know, sort of bits and pieces.
Chuck City in there while you're
hashtag
at it.
Hashtag oil rich, hashtag Etihad sponsorship.
How much oil is there left? It's not that much, is
well,
it?
Well, I'm
pretty sure my science teacher in 1980 something, he says, giving his age away, was like, right, guys, there's this much gas, there's this much oil, and all of it. Made us all look at each other and go, "What are we going to do?" And there can't be more of it.
I mean, they stopped,
fracking.
Your fracking.
They stopped building council estates with gas connections because of it.
Right enough.
This is what people, I think, listen to this podcast for.
Yeah.
To find out what's going on with the fossil fuels.
Look, Brexit's on the way.
Fossil fuels are dominating football.
Stock up on logs.
Gas
Brexit's on the way.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm getting political.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It is annoying when they do that when they're sponsored by the owners and they use that to offset the... it's like, oh, yeah, we spent 100 million on transfers, but we got an 80 million sponsorship deal from
The brilliant thing is the stadium I went to yesterday was called the St Andrew's Trillion Trophy Asia Stadium. I was like,
really?
That rolls off the tongue.
Oh, it's yeah. lovely. That.
It's yeah. brilliant, you know, Trillion Trophy mm. Asia. Great. But yeah, you just look at it and some of the sponsorship deals are...
Name the stadium after a trophy.
I think, no, that's the company name. So if you go on Companies House, it's actually called Trillion Trophy. That's the official
one
company
way of
name.
Getting a trophy, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
If I was a billionaire, I'd make my home team's ground. I'd change the name of the ground to the Ian Smith Let's All Have a Good Time Stadium, and I'd have my face on their shirts.
Crack on, mate! I look forward to that.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's not going to happen. But
it'll be fun.
Yeah, try my best.
In regards to PSG, where does that rank in terms of your recent United history? Because you think about it, some of the great Europa League nights we've had over the past few years, Liverpool was a shambles. Celta Vigo, for me, was a personal achievement because that was the day I finished writing my dissertation on football and the ownership of football. And I drove to Manchester very, 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 very tired and saw one of the worst games in the history of football.
Well, it's not been fun, has it? I know that there was a couple of good results along the way, like post-Ferguson, but I literally went to Fergie's last game and I made sure that I was there and cried and all that because I knew what was coming.
I just thought
I was, and I'm sort of, was at peace and still am at peace. Sorry, I still am at peace with the fact that you don't get a period like that as a football fan. You don't expect to get that to continue or to get it more than once. So in the last few years, it has been like getting in a cold bath on it every time you go, whoa.
What about Bayern under Moyes?
Whenever scored that volley and we had a chance, I remember that brief moment of thinking, go on, Moyes, prove them all wrong, win the Champions League. But that didn't last very long. But I had that for like 5 minutes of thinking.
The rest of the European under LVG, it was shit. Mourinho was shit. Like, when you think about it.
The final, Europa League final
was
nice.
Even that was just...
See,
that was a breeze. It was too easy.
See, the thing with that victory the other night is that it doesn't compare with anything that happened in between the first time we won the league, or even before that, actually, when we won the European Cup Winners' Cup with, like, Mark Hughes and whatever, right, in Rotterdam, that was like, oh, something exciting and news happening. And everything that happened after that was us going up and up and up and was amazing. Mm. And then right until Ferguson ending. So I can't compare the other night, however good it was, personally, I can't compare it with anything that happened in the golden era. For me, you have to put it with other times when we were shit, but then we happened to do something good.
Because the treble is the pinnacle.
Well,
but yeah, that it just trebles, felt like we needed.
I mean,
that
European
so much.
Wise, the treble is obviously the treble, you know, incredible. Domestically, for me, 2006-07 was such a big season for us. Mm. No strikers. We had Louis Saha with, you know, knees made of paper mache.
Yeah.
Mm. Wayne Rooney just getting beaten up every 2 minutes. Signed, you know, 400-year-old Henrik Larsson. And we were desperate to claw the title back from Mourinho. But, you know, one thing that I feel that has come back since Ollie's coming in, especially with that PSG performance, was we've got a bit of our identity back. And I think, you know, in the sanitised world of the Premier League, you look at a lot of the clubs and a lot of people talk to me about the Swanseas, the Villas of this world, Birmingham City, other, you know, these sort of big clubs who have come into the Premier League playing decent football, have played decent football, and then start just trying to survive, losing their identity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then just basically getting dumb by the fact that they're playing in the Sanitas League and end up dropping out of it. We're not going to drop out of it. Got enough money to crack us on. But it just felt we'd completely lost everything about
totally.
Us.
Totally. And that is why I am more bothered about... At this point, I want us to keep going what we've got going by keeping Solskjaer. I think that's more important than finishing fourth.
Mm.
Keeping the feeling and then kicking on next year and, you know, maybe being able to buy a couple of people or get a few of the young players back who are on loan and then be United again and see how that goes.
Yeah. The transfer window's big for him.
Hey?
Woodward's got it. Well, let's be fair. First and foremost, let's look at the fact that, you know, is he your man for it? Gary Neville, after the PSG game, went straight in and was like, how long do you want your contract for?
All that.
Great interview. Is he your man?
He has to be at the moment.
I think, they talked about Zidane. So one, Zidane's got Real Madrid. Two, I would not want Zidane at United because like he's won with an incredible team. And then I get no understanding of what his thought process is. Why you wouldn't want to be in charge of rebuilding Real Madrid. Yeah, you might get sacked or something, but with all the resources and you've still got a core of an incredible team. And he was just, it's like he went, oh, that's going to be an hard work. Mm. And
they
now it's come back.
They struggled in the league, though, under him, didn't they? They weren't amazing in the league. It was just the European Cup that they managed to absolutely go for it. And well done for beating Liverpool last week.
Pochettino is the only manager
Nuno?
That I think has any... No.
I think he's a future Chelsea manager. He's got the cut of a future
Chelsea
manager.
Yeah, yeah. But still, I think if you give it to him, I think... You should give it to Solskjaer, you know, because they've equal experience. Yeah, he's done well in the Premier League, but he's done well with like a big, big budget at that club and stuff. So, like, I think Pochettino or like Allegri, who's leaving Juventus, isn't he? Is he quitting Juventus after this season?
I'm not sure.
Is that?
There's been chat about it, yeah.
But, like, my only worry is that if United don't make the top four, then it's going to be harder for them to make transfers and make life easier for Solskjaer. And then it'll just be speculation about Pogba going.
Yeah, but then next year, I'd rather we were just trying to be solid in the league anyway.
Oh, so...
So, all right, we might not have the Champions League squad, but is that going to matter if we're not in the Champions League anyway?
Yeah, but if we're in the Europa League, it's going to drain us again.
But we'll...
But then you can use
that... lose players,
though? Yeah, but then you do the old... Use, you know, like proper
kids.
Use the squad and let
Twan Zabies, Fosu Mensahs.
Yeah, not in an arrogant way, but in order to give them experience.
Gomez, Chong, Greenwood, all these lot. I mean, for me personally, I looked at last week and the Antonio Valencia announcement, the fact that they're not going to be renewing his contract. It's quite a big thing from Solskjaer himself in the sense of, you know, I think everyone's talked about Mourinho and LVG and how they kept dross like Valencia. Valencia hasn't crossed the ball for a long, long time. He hasn't beaten a man since before he broke his leg in 2012. You know, the Fellainis of this world, you know, a lot of people had question marks over Yashi Young, Jones, Smalling, how no one had the balls to get rid of him this year. No one wanted to get rid of him. Mm. I feel this is a big statement in the sense of he's sort of our club captain. He is our club captain, isn't he? And Solskjaer's turned around and said, you know what, pal, you're not in the plans for next year. Solskjaer's always also come out and said that he's in the photos for next year, the media marketing photos for next year, which is, you know, quite a hint. But it's going to be a big, big, big window, whatever happens in the summer. Let's move on to this weekend's game. It's Wolverhampton Wanderers, a 5-8 kickoff on a Saturday night. Are we going to see you on a dance floor Saturday night watching United?
On a dance floor? Yeah. Bloody hell, mate. We're going back a bit here, aren't we?
Sorry.
The only dance floor I ever get on is a wedding. And now I'm so old that no one's getting married anymore. Everyone's just getting divorced. Work that out.
Divorce parties. Divorce parties are the way. How important is the FA Cup for Ollie? To win something would be an incredible achievement, you know, in what's been a real season of two halves. How important is this tie?
I think, and I reckon this is an unpopular opinion, but this season, I don't really care too much about the FA Cup. Like, I think it would be amazing if Solskjaer could win it. But I do think, like, as much as it shouldn't matter, I think getting Champions League football would make life so much easier for Solskjaer and the club going forward. That as long as it doesn't get in the way of... That's my main thought, is as long as it doesn't get in the way of the league and as long as City don't get the treble. I don't mind if they get three trophies but don't win the Champions League. But if they get the treble as well,
the proper
that's a huge iconic part of our history that is not wiped out, but it's been equaled.
You want to win a trophy.
Like, but I would rather we got scraped fourth, and I'd rather we scraped fourth than win the FA Cup, purely because of what I think it would mean for the future, that we'll be able to compete more with Solskjaer in the future of that.
Nicole, FA Cup, are you up for the cup?
Yeah, I'd like to win it just to get one on the board and give him that buzz. But a month ago, I was thinking, right, well, we may or may not end up fourth, but it'd be nice for him to win a cup just while he's here, thinking that we might be getting rid of him. But now, I'm already thinking about next season, to be honest. I just want them to continue with the atmosphere that we've got. It doesn't matter, you know, we might get pipped to fourth. I don't think that's a disaster.
I just think Ed Woodward is the person whose job should be at risk. If we don't make it into the top four,
I think we can all agree
he needs to use stuff like buyback clause on Depay, get the best players from clubs who won't mind playing Europa. Like even
Sancho.
I read something that I agreed with, like Sancho's going to cost like 100 million. And he's a young English player, but who knows whether that's his only good season. I would
100
get,
million?
That's what they
Nothing
say.
Nothing should be 100 million.
I'd chuck 25 million at Alderweireld.
I'd put 50 on...
25, because he's available for 25 now.
Yeah, I'd have
it's
that.
It's the activating. Yeah, yeah. Go and get 25.
I'm not spending 100 million pounds on anything.
Yeah, you'd get Zaha for 50 million.
You want him back? Bloody hell, you want... But he's might as well bring Fellaini back from China.
Yeah, but Zaha's like... I think Zaha's a safer bet for a squad or for what we need.
I'll go for Sancho. Go and rescue him.
Mm. And Depay, you could get him back if he...
Depay's an interesting one, isn't it?
He's risky, but...
It's an odd one, that. But it's been talked about as well, hasn't it?
He has flashes where he's incredible. I just think rather than trying to spend 100 million on one kid as good as he is, I think you could get three players.
Go and chuck £15 million on Ruben Neves from Wolves.
Mm.
Knows the Premier League, streetwise, knows what he's doing. Quality player.
I tell you who I'd like as well, who shouldn't cost that much, Ward-Prowse. When you've got a Finn midfield, not a first team player, but like
homegrown as well.
Yeah, I would absolutely have Ward-Prowse as like your kind of rotation every now and then, because he's just a solid young midfielder who's at a shit club who you would have thought you could get for like 20 million.
I'll tell you, I hate transfer rumours and I hate the papers in the summer. It's the worst part of the year.
Let's sack off the transfer rumours and talk about Champions League rumours. Friday the 15th is the day of the draw for the quarterfinals. Spurs, Ajax, Manchester United, Porto, Manchester City or Schalke, Bayern or Liverpool, Atletico, Juventus, Barcelona or Lyon are the names in the hat. Who do you want?
Porto.
I think that's the unanimous choice.
Or
good memories against them.
Yeah. Or Ajax, because I feel like it's a bit like PSG then to Arsenal. I don't think they're going to destroy Real Madrid and then destroy another team.
It'd be interesting to see how Barcelona get on against Lyon. They're 0-0 at the moment in their game. It's aggregate 0-0.
Yeah, is there anyone who you really feel has got the magic at the moment? Because we sort of thought it was PSG, didn't we?
Yeah. Bayern, I think, on the up as
Well, Bayern are never going to let you down, are they?
I'm buzzing to see how they're going. Just absolutely bash the Scousers. Just really want it done.
Yeah, let's just get it over with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Porto do. Ajax is the Van der Sar derby. They can conclude a deal for De Ligt while they're there, then, you know, we kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, and get Van der Sar. I'd love him as technical director.
What about Monchi? I was just about to bring up the point of Monchi. Obviously, Roma parting company with their manager this week. They brought Claudio Ranieri, who looked so bemused. I don't know if you've seen the picture of him next to the Roma logo. He looks genuinely like bemused, going, hold on a minute, I was sacked 8 days ago. What am I doing back here?
How have I pulled this off?
They've got rid of Monchi. I mean, if Arsenal go and get him, that would be a shambles, because Arsenal ain't got the money to back him. United have got the money to back him. He's got to be done.
I don't know much about him, to be honest. I think, like, I look at Van der Sar and, like, a past, like, United player. And Ajax is incredible with, like, the youth that they have. I think I'd like an old United player.
Schmeichel wants it.
He's never done it before, though. I did agree with Gary Neville said something where before what happened with Solskjaer, he was saying United need the best in place everywhere. Like, if you're having a technical director, you need the best technical director you can get. So as much as Solskjaer's done well, I wouldn't have Schmeichel if he's got no experience being a technical director.
Nico, very quickly, LVG has retired today. We're sitting on Monday the 11th, and it's emerged this afternoon that Louis van Gaal has confirmed his retirement prior to some terrible rumours that are flying around a couple of years ago that he'd retired. He hasn't seemed to shake off the United curse. I mean, he came in looking fresh-faced. He had some nice low-light
stuff. Sure about that.
proper low lights done. Do you remember when he was being announced, went and grabbed the groundsman by his head and all that? And he looked a broken man when he left United at Wembley that day. Your favourite LVG moment?
Well, it's got to be when he fell over, hasn't it? I mean, he's a top coach, you know, and we all thought what we were getting was a proper steady hand.
Especially with the World Cup.
He was just, his communication was just so odd and so off. It just didn't translate. And I don't know, I can't put my finger on it. All I can think is that maybe he was already a bit past his best and getting slowing down a bit as a man, if you know what I mean. I don't mean that too harshly, but actually the best moment is when he sort of went, Louis van Gaal's army.
When he did the chant back.
Louis van Gaal's army. Yeah, and I really felt for him. There was moments where he was just like, oh my God, he's just like your mad uncle.
What when he started talking about sadomasochism in the tunnel once, about someone grabbing Fellaini's hair. Yeah. You know, you only do that in sadomasochism. Yeah. He was brilliant. I think the Mike Smalling incident that happened a couple of times as well.
Yeah.
Now, this is my third captain, Mr. Mike Smalling. And someone goes, Chris, by the way. And he goes, oh yeah, Chris, sorry. Yeah. You know. He was funny.
He brought us Rashford as well. That's got to be...
He was funny, but everyone was laughing at us. That isn't funny. That's what stopped.
Yeah.
That's why
I do think
Ollie's the man.
The managers that we've had since Ferguson made me dislike the club. Not the club, but the people in charge. Because I thought, I don't know why we've given it to Moyes this easily. And then with Louis van Gaal, like, as much as, the football wasn't great, I thought the way that ended was... I thought it was a bit shameful, really. Win the FA Cup.
Yeah,
and then we sacked
him. I agree,
All the rumours swirling
apparently around. His wife found out because someone was talking about it in a lift. So she's at Wembley in a lift.
Oh, my
God. After United won the FA Cup, and his wife found out first, and he was very angry at the fact that his wife and his daughter had found out before.
I thought it was disgusting
how the club treated him. Fair enough, let him go, but still, it was... proper business and snide and horrible.
It was grim.
And Mourinho, he did all right, but he wasn't like the fit that you look at. I thought Louis van Gaal wasn't great, but he did bring through some youth, which is what we keep banging on about as a philosophy we want. And we did all sort of slaughter him a bit to the end. But especially the technical staff just like thanks for the FA Cup and then twisted the knife into his spine a bit.
Well, don't forget Giggsy was part of that technical stuff.
Gents,
we are up for the cup. 7:55 kickoff on Saturday evening. Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Manchester United. How's it going to go?
Oh, I think we're gonna. I think we'll win. I think 2-1.
2-0.
I'm going 3-1 United.
Oh, yeah,
Romelu Lukaku to grab two again.
He likes it against the smaller clubs.
He does.
He does. He looks good. He looks good. Gents,
he's a big lad.
Thank you very much for joining me, Nico, and Ian with me. Thank you to the man on the dials as well. And thank you to listening, for listening to the Manchester United Redcast.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.